us. We are starting a new message series today called Bad Words. Woo! Beep! That's the name of this sermon series. I heard about a pastor recently that was struggling, and just kind of depressed, just struggling, and so somebody said, you know what, you need to get a pet. So he went down to the pet store, and the pet owner was like, you know what, I got this parrot, he will be great. And so yesterday I tried this joke out on Erica, and as soon as I said the word parrot, she's like, no, don't tell that joke. So I'm going to give you the option. Do you want to hear this joke, or do you not? Okay. I warned you. Okay. So he takes the parrot home with him, and as soon as he gets him home, the parrot starts cussing. You sorry, beep, 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 you know, all this stuff. And he's like, I'm a pastor. This is a holy home. We don't cuss in here, parrot. Stop that. My parrot didn't care, just kept going, just kept cussing. Finally, he reached in that cage and kind of popped him on the beak. He's like, don't you do that. We don't cuss in this home. And parrot just kind of shook it off and just kept on cussing. You blankety blank, you know, we'll have her parrot sound. And so he was so mad, he went out to the bedroom and got his comforter and laid it over the cage. And it was quiet. And he's like, yeah. And then he peeled that comforter. And as soon as he peeled it back over, that parrot just started going at it again, cussing, saying all these bad words, filthy words, and he got so mad, he threw that blanket, and he's like, what am I going to do? He reached in, and he grabbed the parrot, he takes him out of the cage, and he's walking around the house. Goes to the kitchen, opens up the freezer, and throws him in, and slams the door. That'll teach him. Inside that parrot, freezing, looking around, you know, And pastor's like, man, he might die, so I better take him out. He started feeling guilty, you know, a little harsh, too harsh. The parrot's just in there, freaking out. Where am I? What's going on? And so he reaches in, takes him out of the freezer, puts him back in the cage. And when he puts him in the cage, the parrot said, I'm sorry. I'm not going to cuss anymore. I've learned my lesson. And I'm not going to cuss anymore. And the pastor's like, yeah, I told you. But the parrot said, there is something I would like to know. Yeah, what is that? Well, when I was in the freezer, I saw a chicken. What did the chicken do? No more cussing, parrot. See, that wasn't bad. Thank you for laughing, and yes. So there's some bad words in the Bible, and I want to talk to you about them. And we're going to take one bad word per week and break them down. So the Bible has these words that are heavy, they're dark. They're not profane, but they're bad. So today, we're going to break down the word sin. Bum, 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 bum. I wish I had a sound effect for that. Sin is a bad word. Now, I know you guys, many of you have been in church. You have a context for what sin is. But there's other words that the next week after that, there's going to be 3 weeks. We're going to talk about transgression and iniquity. Now, you might have thought that all three of those words meant the same thing, but they technically don't. Sin is a word that we're going to break down today, and it has a very distinct meaning in the Bible. And the whole point of this is not just to talk about sin, but it's to put it in context for you in everyday 2019 language. Because let's be real, we don't use the word sin unless we're in church. You're not like at soccer practice talking about these kids are in transgression, you know, or you don't talk about iniquity around the coffee table, around the coffee pot at work or whatever. This is, we don't use those words because they're old-fashioned. And here's really the bad part of that is that since they are kind of old-fashioned, we think they don't really relate to today. We want to break out of that mold, and I really want to help you understand sin today in a way that's very, very understandable. So when the New Testament was written, the original language was Greek. And the word that they used for sin in that Greek original text was amartia. A-M-A-R-T-E-A. Amartia. Can y'all say that? Let's put it on the screen. Amartia. Amartia means missing the mark. It's actually a term that they would use in archery or bow and arrow when they would miss the mark. So when I've got a bow and some Nerf arrows, because I'm shooting these today, and I didn't want to hurt anyone. So whenever you have archery, you have a bow, you have an arrow, and you always have a target, bullseye, whatever it may be. It could be a piece of paper with a circle and a dot. It could be an animal. Maybe you're trying to shoot a deer or something in war. So there was always the bow, the arrow, and a target. I want Jude to come help me as my faithful assistant. First of all, Jude, just go over there, and I want to try to shoot it into the window first and in that back so they can see this. So if I'm going to shoot into that window, I got to aim it just right, and I want to make sure I get it. Better watch out. I was looking for a bow and arrow this week, and Abe Longoria said, I got one. He sent me a picture. It was like had metal arrows with like razors on. I said, hey, kill someone when I'm amartia in the service. Go turn it back on. I gotta keep shooting, man. I'm on a roll. Oh. So this is not amartia, because I'm hitting the mark, right? I'm going through. But every once in a while, whoa, fail. If you want to break down amartia into one single word, it just simply fail. To fail. To fail to hit the mark. And so, okay, Jude, come back out here. Because I'm fixing to shoot this apple off your head. I didn't do this in the other services, but this is the last service. If I injure him, it's no big deal. Okay, turn around, because I don't want to hit you in the face. Okay, that's good, right there. Just stand still. Where's Jill? Does she have the camera? Get a camera. We got to get this. Y'all got a camera. Oh, Debbie's got it. Okay. This is awesome. I appreciate the 11:30 for just letting me have fun. Okay. Oh, too high. What's that? Amartia, that's right. Whoa. How cool is that? Mark John's leaning over. He's like, I didn't sign up for this at church. Ooh, I got one more arrow. Let's just not do that? No, are you getting nervous? Let's get a little closer. Oh, okay. Fully demonstrated amartia for you. Thank you, sir. Now go get those because I'm going to be shooting message, and I need him to continually get my darts because it's just too fun. Church early, I'll just darts and not armartia. Okay, so we have failure. Failure is not hitting the mark. Failure is not hitting the mark. So, you know, there's times in life that we fail, and they're laughable. I was trying one time to learn how to kayak in white water when we lived in New Mexico. That's hard to do. We lived in some class 4 rapids in Taos, and it was just amazing canyon you could go through. And so when you kayak through that, you're in the kayak, strapped in, and if you fall or you roll, you don't come out of the kayak. You're trapped in it, so you have to learn how to roll it and come back up and then keep going. Well, I had a friend that I worked with in the restaurant that I was a waiter at, and he was like, I can teach you how to kayak. So we go out into the Rio Grande. It's really cold water, and we're out there, and for an hour and a half, he would roll me under the water, and I would almost drown, and then he would roll me back. I would tap on the kayak, and like, please take me. I can't get it. He would roll me back up, and after about an hour and a half, I just said, I am a failure. I cannot do this. I cannot learn how to kayak. Amartia. I give up. I fail to hit the mark. It was tough. I like adventure. I like adventure sports. And there was another time I'm thinking of, and I think of the Krauses when I think of this story, because we were snow skiing together, and I said, Will, I'm about to do something crazy or something like that, out of looking cool. I had a target of doing this amazing jump. And so I saw this little kind of a ledge, kind of like this, and I was like, I'm going to jump off, and I'm going to do a 360 like this. Awesome. I've done it before. I'm going to do it. Awesome. Check out this picture. This is what happened when I went up in the air, did a circle, and landed on my forehead, as you can see. And it's okay. You can laugh. It's all good. I went and got a CAT scan. Everything was clear. Took me a while to pay the medical bill for this amartia. We fail at things, and we can laugh at things that we fail at. I mean, there's all that. I mean, I'm sure we could all talk about stories that we failed at hitting the mark. But really, obviously, we're at church, and so we're going to talk about the big picture, which is when we fail at living a life that we want to live. And that's really the crux of sin, is when we're failing to live a moral life or a life that's good. And when we fail to hit the mark of morality, that is amartia, that is sin. And even if you're not raised in a Christian home, even if your family does not believe in the Bible, everybody wants to be good. They want to live a conscience inside of us that is leading us toward that, and you can feel heavy or bad or whatever when you're not hitting the mark, when you're struggling, if you're breaking the law, you know, if you're doing things that other people don't agree with, that is amartia, that is failing to hit the mark. And then when we look at the Bible and that standard is even higher, then it can be very, very difficult when we see that our lifestyle is not hitting the mark. Here's basically the thing. This is what it takes to be in relationship with God, is that we have to hit the bullseye every time. That was pretty cool. That's the bullseye. Let's say the bull, you have 4 arrows to be in relationship with, because God is holy and is righteous and perfect, and is unable to be connected to unholiness or people that miss the mark. So when we shoot and we miss, we don't have that, and we're unable to have a relationship with God. And so really, everybody in here, as we're trying to accomplish this perfect score, we have failed. Look what Paul says in Romans, the 3rd chapter, in the 23rd verse. This is what it says. All have amartied. If you look at the original text, all have amartied and fall short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. We've all fallen short. When we miss the target, we can't be with is perfect. God is holy. So we have failed. We haven't hit the target. And so we have fallen short of God's perfection. We're missing the mark. All of us have missed the mark in some regard. And so instead of looking at the particular scenarios, bring me back some arrows. Instead of looking at the particular, and you know what, if I just practice, if I just try harder, if I just get closer, if I work on my stance or whatever, and try to fix the mistakes, we're going to be chasing to prove ourselves and save ourselves. Instead, let's look at how this sin, this amartia, this failure, separates us from God, and then what God does because of it. The Old Testament says it's your sins, the failure, your failure to hit the mark that has cut you off or alienated you from God. So I hope, here's my goal today, is that the next time you'll think of the bow and arrow. You'll think of failure to hit the mark. The next time you're in a failure, the next time you have failed to hit the mark, I'm hoping and believing you'll remember this message today. When you fail, because let me tell you something. From this point until the day you die, you're going to keep on failing to hit. Some of them are epic fails. The thing is that Jesus came to your life archery skills. Jesus came to shoot the arrow for you. We're going to keep on failing, getting rejected. This is what Jesus does. And John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." In other words, Jesus did not come to make fun of you or to keep beating you down because you continually fail to hit the bullseye. That's not why he came. But that the world, all of us, through Jesus, might be saved. So how could all of us, through Jesus, be saved? Well, what that means is that Jesus Christ came to live the life that you always wanted to live and nail the bullseye every time. Now, you might say, well, that's amazing if Jesus came and he hit the bullseye for a week, right? What if Jesus just came and lived here for a week and was flawless? That would be amazing. I mean, but some of us might say, well, I could do it for a week. You know, if I really tried hard enough, I could be sinless for a week. What about 2 weeks? Or 3 weeks? Or 4 weeks? Or 33 and a half years? Jesus wasn't just hitting the mark, you know, from close range. Jesus was flawlessly hitting the bullseye from every single place that he wanted to. I mean, he wasn't just shooting it like this. Jesus was like shooting it like that, shooting with his eyes closed, shooting behind his back. Jesus nailed it. He nailed it how we always wanted to be. He did it. And so that's what John is saying there, is that we are saved. It's like we get on Jesus' coattails. It's like we get into Jesus' life and we say, we cannot do it. We cannot hit it every single time, but I trust, Jesus, that you hit it every single time. And that's really the offer that Jesus gives his disciples in the Last Supper, when he's there with them, the last meal that he has. He offers them a new covenant. The old covenant was, you hit the bullseye, and right? That's the Old Testament. That's the old law. You have to follow it just right, and when you don't, you're on that ledge. Come on, bring them back. This is what Jesus says. I've got a new agreement for you. I've got a new deal for you. A new testament. That's why we call it the New Testament. It's a new covenant that he offers his disciples. If you will allow me to shoot this arrow for you, if you allow me to live the perfect life for you, and then just trust in me, believe in me and what I'm doing for you, then you will be able to take my score and use it as your own. You can take my perfect 400 score and you can take it for your own. And you can take your target that you've been shooting at and you've blown holes all in the sides of it and you've missed the target so many times. Take that old target that's so broken and difficult and you're going to take it to the cross and I'm going to nail it there for you. Look what Colossians says. Colossians 2:13, you were dead because of your amartia. You were dead because of your sins. You were dead because of your failure to hit the target. Look what he goes, you're sinful because you have because that's who a failure that. It wasn't yet cut away. But then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all of your misses. He forgave every time you missed the mark. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away, look at this, by nailing it to the cross. He takes your failure and he nails it to the cross. And the precious, innocent blood of Jesus Christ that is pure and without spot or blemish or any error and has the power of eternal life covers our mistakes and our sin. In this way, Jesus disarms spiritual rulers and authority. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That's why Jesus came. These feeble efforts that we have, and to say, let me do it for you. And let me take that burden. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. You can take what I have done, and you can take my score, and you can lay yours down. Now, it only works. This is super important right here. It only works if you lay yours down. If you still keep trying to shoot the arrows, look, this is what happens. This is what happens in life. I'm over here. Man, look at me. I'm awesome. I hit the bullseye. I'm good. Really good, right? man, I nail it every time. And this is what Wayne Francis was talking about Wednesday night. Pride starts creeping in. And that right there is the edge that we live in. That right there is, look at me, I'm doing well. Look at me, I'm doing good. I got this. Pride starts puffing you up because you actually are hitting the mark. And let's just be honest. There's a lot of times we do hit the mark in life. And we are successful. You make the raise. You get married. You have the baby. You start your own business. It's great. You buy another business. You move into an amazing house. You on and on. I mean, you lose the weight. Yeah. And so we can start taking credit for that. We can start, but that means we're taking our own score. Jesus has a better thing for you. Don't take your own score. Don't take credit for that. Don't even start getting the credit for that. Because you see that third arrow I shot, what did it do? Bing! Shot off the top, missed. And then people that live in that prideful state, when they don't hit the mark, there is a healthy conviction from God that allows us to know, oh, you missed it. But what happens to people that are not living in the good news of Jesus is they allow guilt to come in and begin to define them, and they live under a heaviness of guilt and condemnation that Jesus did not come to do. And so they either are living in this puffed up state of pride, or they're living in this beat me up state of condemnation. That's not good news. Now we're going to continue to live our life, right? We have to continue to shoot the arrow. We have to continue to make decisions, get in relationships. We have to keep going to work. We have to keep filing our taxes. We have to keep doing all these different things. And what happens when we begin to trust in Jesus instead of ourself is that he fills us with his spirit, and we begin to live according to his nature, and we do hit the target a lot. He empowers us by the power of his Holy Spirit to mature, to grow stronger, to get better at life, however you want to call it that. I mean, he does give us the strength to do that and actually reflect his glory here on this broken earth. But inevitably, we're going at some point, even while we are walking with him, amartia. And what is that going to do to us? What is that going to say over us? Salvation has come to bring you peace. Whether you're hitting the bullseye or you are missing the target completely. Salvation doesn't mean that we take our score. Salvation means that we totally rely on Jesus' score. And I hope that good news just washes over you today. That Jesus is so good that he has come to this place to do the work for you that would earn your place with God. So the efforts that we have and the work that we do comes out of an identity, son or a daughter of God. but never to prove ourselves as a son or daughter. That's good. That's really good. Would you join with me? I know there's people in here, maybe even watching online today, that would like to have a clean slate. You'd like to have Jesus' record, Jesus' score. And let's just declare that over our life right now. Grace, when he freed us from the penalty of our amatia. Thank you, Jesus, for freeing us from every time we miss the mark. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the grace. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for the redemption. We deserve to be kicked out of the game. We deserve to be out of life. But you have redeemed us by your work. You have redeemed us by what you have done. Flawless execution, hitting the bullseye every time. I want to ask you just to stand to your feet, everybody in the room, just stand to your feet. We're about to walk out these doors, but before we do, I think it would be very, very powerful if we all just had a confession of our faith, and instead of me praying for you, we all prayed together. And so this is what we're going to do. The first thing that we're going to say is a confession of amartia. Lord, I have missed the mark. What if you just said that out loud? Just said, Lord, I have missed the mark. God, I have failed. I think it would be appropriate and accurate for to say, Lord, I do it quite often. Lord, I sin often. I fail often. I don't hit the mark a lot. I trust Jesus that you hit the bullseye every time. Perfect, Jesus. I surrender my life to you right now. I give up my ability. I give up my score. I give up my identity for you. Please forgive me. Heal me. Please wash me clean. I trust in you, Jesus. Even when I miss the mark in the future, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe you saved me. I believe you're my Savior. I believe you're my healer. Fill me with your spirit. Empower me with your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have two things that you can do right now if this message reached out to you. The first one is this. Get here at 5 o'clock today. You didn't even need to sign up for it. We'll be ready for you. Get here at 5 o'clock today for next steps, and we will help you take your next step with God. And it's a very personal time. We'll connect with you, get on a first name basis, walk through some things that will help you take your next step. That's tonight at 5 o'clock. The second thing that you can do is follow the steps here on the screen. There's a connection card in the seat back in front of you. There's also a texting option. Same process, just one's paper, one's text. But you can put your name and information on that card. We will contact you this week. We will pray with you this week. We will answer any questions you may have and help you take your next step with Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being here today. You're dismissed. We love you so much, and we'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.